young man has a gift. His voice is incredible. And his reading of the text, of course, just superb. Wouldn't be a bad idea if Good Tidings were to put together an audio Bible. You can lend me an amen. Okay. But I think you have enough here with incredible voices that could read that and put it on your website. That would make it very special, don't you think? We're talking about the Word of God here, so we shouldn't have a major problem with that. It's good to be back here with you at Good Tidings again. And especially just coming out of the Easter season, we thought we would just continue to look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the implications of the resurrection. So let's just forge right ahead. The scriptures have already been read. And what we're going to be talking about is right there. Man alive, he's alive. Can you believe it? Of all the things that has happened in your lifetime, nothing has the impact that this has. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man alive, he is alive. It was during President Nixon's presidency that the American astronauts landed on the moon for the first time. In his commendation to the astronauts, he said that the American landing on the moon was the greatest event since creation. Billy Graham chided him and said, "Mr. President, what about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?" And the evangelist was correct. There's no event since creation that can even be compared to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope we understand some of the seriousness of what we're going to be talking about today. In the first place, we wouldn't even be here. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important event in human history. Just think about it for a moment if you haven't thought about it before. The Lord Jesus Christ is such a historical person that he divides time. You can't refer to any date since the creation of planet Earth without referencing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about B.C. That's before Christ. A.D. from the Latin Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Of course, you see A.D. most people say means after death. In the year of our Lord. And so he divides time at between his birth and departure, he divides time. Even atheists, even those who oppose him, have to use him as the reference into time. You can't measure time without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. You can't make significant division and observe distinction between before Christ and after he died on the cross. So we're talking about a very important subject that is related to a very important person. And consequently then, dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is basically the rock on which Christianity is built. Christianity is built on one person. You go to some nominal churches, we call them, and you see people's names are engraved in blocks and bricks and the foundation and all that. But Jesus Christ singularly is the rock of Christianity. And that should bring a lot of comfort to us. Because it means that when the godless and the holiest of men and women around us fall, Christianity still stands. When well-known evangelists, renowned Bible teachers, preachers, when they make shipwreck of their lives, the rock is still immovable. You cannot remove that rock. Christianity is based on that. And if this fact is discredited, everything else has been discredited. Why worry to preach the gospel? Our faith has no use, and the object of our faith has no credibility. You might as well believe in your neighbor. You might as well believe in the mailman who delivers your mail. May as well believe in anybody and anything. Think about it. Jesus is the rock on which salvation and is offered and on which Christianity is built. Paul mentioned some things that we need to think about. That if Christ be not raised from the dead, our preaching is futile. You realize that? Yeah. Unless you're preaching something other than Christ, but we preach Christ. He's the center of our message. And if he be not raised from the dead, then preaching is futile. We're wasting time. In all the time and the investment and the preparation that we have made in preaching amounts and accounts to nothing if Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead. Paul lists some other things that are important, really related to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is empty. Yet in the Bible, faith is seen as powerful when it's attached to the resurrected Christ. Those who believe in him, the gospel message becomes of no value if Christ be not raised from the dead. Our faith is empty. Christianity would have become just like any of the other world religion. You might as well believe in Muhammad or Confucius or in Haile Selassie or in anyone. There would be a galaxy of options to choose from. But the resurrection of Christ makes the difference, as we're going to see. And if Christ be not raised, all of us are false witnesses. Not just the Jehovah's Witnesses would be false, but all of us would be like them. False witnesses if Christ is not raised from the dead. We are still in our sins. We have no reason to smile. We have no reason to be singing those songs so lustily early on, led by the praise team. What a worship session. By and by, when morning comes, when we all gather around the resurrected Christ, when we see him, all those singing and things to express the joy and delight of our faith means nothing, because we are still in our sins. And all our claims of salvation and redemption, they are just empty claims and nothing more. All believers have perished. All our loved ones that you are looking forward to and longing to see when the morning comes, it's not going to happen. It's all wrapped up in falsehood and in hypocrisy. It's not real if Christ be not raised from the dead. But if he's raised from the dead, then we shall see him by and by. That's our hope that we have. It drives, it motivates, it comforts. Yes, we're going to see your loved ones again. And then finally, we are of all peoples most miserable. If you think Christians are the happiest, most joyful people in the world when you look at the religions, then listen, if Christ be not raised from the dead, our smile, our expressions of delight and joy is only a facade. It's not real. It's not real anymore. If Christ be not raised from the dead. But we know otherwise. We know that the Apostle Paul presents to us, basically telling us something about resurrection. We probably want to seek some clarification on that before we go any further regarding resurrection. There are a lot of misunderstanding about resurrection. You'll be surprised to know how many things we have in the Bible about resurrection. We can actually, and some scholars have done that, develop a theology of Christian resurrection to understand resurrection in the Bible and to outline it. Remember, resurrection is not the resumption of an interrupted life. Some people view resurrection, you're coming back. But that's not what it is at all. This is quite different from what people think of traditionally and a lot of old wives' fables and speculations now. Resurrection is not a return to a former life. That's not resurrection. That's why we say what Lazarus experienced is technically not a resurrection. Because the guy returned to the same body he lived in. That's why Jesus said, loose him. Loose the body you bound. Loose him. So he returned to that. The place where they buried him became vacant. His tomb was available now. His casket, in those days they use a wrapping process. All the money they spent, they went to the undertaker. The undertaker said, we don't take returns. That's your problem. But we don't do that. We don't take that back. Because he needed that. He went back to live at Bethany. And of course, interestingly, Lazarus died a second time. He's currently waiting for the resurrection. And he will be raised, which is really different. Resurrection is not a reunion of body, soul, and spirit. That's what Lazarus experienced. He returned to his body and to his relative and his loved ones and so forth. And then he died finally. It's important to understand, to verify death, that the process of decay. Well, remember Lazarus stinketh because after 4 days, but his body wasn't decayed. Not that the Lord couldn't bring him back from that state, but when a person is raised, usually the body disappear and decay. Let's see if we can look at a good definition of resurrection then that will help to clarify. Resurrection is a sovereign act of God by which he brings about a state of total transformation of the nature, state, and existence of believers' body. We are focusing on believers' resurrection now, because that's what we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it's an act of God, total transformation, not a return. Because when Lazarus was raised, he needed food. He needed to drink water. He needed to do everything that he used to do before. Because it's a return, not a resurrection. In resurrection, those services and needs are no longer necessities of life. Here is something that we need to also remember. While everybody, every human being that exited the womb and died of a different stage in human history will one day be raised. All human beings, we are told that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. That he saw the dead, great and small, no matter what status you had when you were alive. But all human beings will appear at the great white throne judgment. Now pay close attention to this. The believer's resurrection is quite different in scripture. And what the believer is going to get is a glorified body. Not everybody will get a glorified body. Only believers of this church age will get a glorified body. And that glorified body, if you look at the description there, that eternal state of human existence after physical death, where no spirit, soul, and body perfectly reflect the presence, pleasure, power, and plan of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you see how important again his resurrection is. Because we are placed in him. If he's not raised, then our hope is dead. And when we talk about body, we're talking about the glorified body that will be furnished, not the current body that we have. This came from dust, and it will return to dust, we are told in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. We should also make some observation here. Lazarus and all the people who lived with him, like I said before, died again. Only believers will have a glorified body. You want to take note of that. And that in the appropriate destination, a body will be furnished. Those who are going to hell, they will be given a resurrected body consistent with that sphere of existence. We know what the saints were going to have. Also, the Old Testament saints will be raised, the righteous one, and they will be furnished with a normal body because they are going into the kingdom. We believe that when the Lord return at the second coming on earth to set up his kingdom, people like Abraham and Isaac and all those and other people will be raised to enjoy God's kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. We have that mentioned for us too as well. The Apostle Paul presented the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the epicenter of the gospel message. I know you perhaps hear different rendition, different presentation, description, even different definition of the gospel. Well, we know the gospel means good news. We also know that Jesus is at the center. That is why if Christ be not raised, then our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain because he is the unilateral epicenter of the gospel that we preach. Listen to the Apostle Paul in a number of passages quickly. In 1 Corinthians 15, read earlier on, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all," you paraphrase that, "as a matter of priority," is what he's saying, "that which I received, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day, according to the scriptures." So you see, in Paul's mind, no resurrection, no gospel, because Jesus Christ is at the center of the Christian gospel, all by himself. Romans 10:9, we are familiar with this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now you understand why the Jews have a problem, a major problem. You have to believe that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has raised Jesus from the dead. That's central in the gospel. There are a lot of things in scripture people believe, but the only thing that is related to salvation is that God raised him from the dead. In one of the early chapters of the book of Acts, the apostles, perhaps the first miracle have recorded there by the apostles, the blind man at the gate beautifully received his sight. And the people started to lift up and to commend and praise the apostles. And Peter stood up and said, "Why are you treating us this way as if we, by some great power, caused this man to receive his sight?" And I just love what Peter said, the way he phrased it. "I want you to know, it is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Let me just say this. If you're a believer and you hate Jews, we need to talk. If you're anti-Semitic, we need to talk in a hurry. Because the whole New Testament theology of Christianity is linked upon the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Nowhere there you see Muhammad or anybody's name in Islam. Just want you to understand that. I'm prepared to talk with you about if you're having difficulty. The Bible has not commanded anyone to love a Jew or to marry a Jew. So you don't have to love them, just don't hate them. No, it's the hating that caused the divine judgment. It's the problem. You don't have to love them. Just remember, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. God will take care of them. That's my advice to you. So God raised Jesus. You see again resurrection? How indispensable that is to the Christian message, the Christian faith. And then we are also told, the Apostle Paul presented the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the center of our sanctification. I hope we realize that. There is no accessing resurrection power of Christ if he's not raised. So our sanctification would be in trouble. We wouldn't get that power he talks about in Romans 6, going over to chapter 8 of Romans, where he talks of God has made provision for us to live above sin. It's because in his death,
Jesus Christ broke the power of canceled sin. And by sending his spirit, we can live above the world. We can live above sinful inclination within us. We can say no to sin because Jesus Christ is alive, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, we would all be victims. Therefore, Paul says to the Ephesians, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Notice the objective of Paul's prayer. Very important, should be important for us as Christians today. Your leaders praying for you. What are they praying for you for? What's the content of their prayer? Well, look at this apostolic prayer. He was not praying that they be physically healed, though that is important. He wasn't praying that they get a lot of money. They weren't praying that you win the lotto because you shouldn't be buying it. Somebody said to me, then you wouldn't. I said, no. I said, for me to win the lotto will be a double miracle because I don't have a ticket. And if I can win, then you know it comes from God, okay? And please don't see me after, because it's a hypothetical case, all right? So let's move on. Purpose of the prayer, content of the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He continues, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God just didn't save you to prevent you from going to hell. God has a greater supreme purpose. And Romans 8 addressed that too as well. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? See that word inheritance? Any inheritance that you're going to claim requires the death of the testator. Yeah, that's why nobody should see your will before you leave. Because I tell you, if I see my name and your will, then I have to change my prayers. Are you with me? Remember, I'm in the flesh. I can be tempted too as well. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm wrestling with this still. What God has deposited in us because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the Apostle Paul. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I'm yet to meet somebody who clearly comprehend the implications of that. That's Paul's prayer, that the Ephesians would come to that place where they begin to understand and have insight into the type of power. In fact, he said, mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus. We've been singing about power in the blood. Check out the resurrection. And you haven't seen anything yet. Check out when the Lord appears in the glory to rapture the church. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the single source of power in Christianity. Say what you want to say about the preachers, call them imposters and your church leaders, all that. But just remember, Jesus is out of your reach because he has been raised from the dead. Not only raised, but he's seated. God has exalted him and given him a name, Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord Most High. There is no one above Jesus. Of all the beings in heaven, Jesus doesn't look up. There's no one to look up to. Jesus doesn't even pray anymore. Just notice after his resurrection, he was declaring things and making decisions because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. What a name. Man alive, he's alive. And there's nothing the enemy can do about it. Seated him high, far above all principalities and powers, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, the apostolic age, but also in that which is to come, our age, and the other ages to come. God has placed him above them all principles. You see why it's important to pray. You see why it's important to pray in the name of Jesus. Because when you present your prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't meet with Congress. He doesn't have a Congress. He doesn't meet with the senators. He doesn't have a Senate. God has unilaterally exalted Jesus. When Jesus says it is done, not all the king's horses, not the king's men can reverse that. That's why when we pray, we settle it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. He's the resurrected Christ. What power. What demonstration of glory. We know the word gospel means good news. We talk about that. You perhaps have heard me tell this story here before. Of the old timer who asks the young guy, what is news? And the young man scratching his head, never thought about it before. And knowing that this guy can be very tricky. And he's trying to come up with an answer. And then the old timer said to him, young man, news is basically information from the north, from the east, from the west, and from the south. That's news. Now, if you can't understand that, then that's another news. But that's news. The gospel is not just good news. It's the best news. It's the best news. Tested with it various times. Tested in the enemy's headquarters. I wish we had time to look at when Jesus Christ died and when he was raised from the dead. We understand that some of the Old Testament saints were seen in Jerusalem. Peter said he went down to speak to the spirits in prison. That's called Hades. Remember, Hades had two compartments. There's Abraham's bosom where Lazarus was, and there's the place of torment where the rich man was. No person has ever left the planet Earth and entered God's presence before Jesus. Now just keep that in mind. And just remember, this is not an opinion. Remember, the Bible says he's the first fruit. He's the first fruit of them that slept. Don't ask me where the people went or where they are. I only know the Bible says Jesus is the first fruit of them that slept. And that makes a lot of sense for us here. So even the demons in hell know that Jesus Christ is alive. They had their own problems. I'm thinking of so many people when we talk about the gospel being good news. But I'll close to tell you, there are different types of good news. And there's bad news. What might be good news to you is bad news for somebody else. But when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no difference really. Good news for those who believe. Bad news for those who don't believe. It just ain't good. And it's not going to get better without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want in closing for us to think for a minute. When Herod heard that Jesus is alive. What? What do you mean alive? Think about what Herod is thinking when he heard. What about Pilate? Pilate compromised his profession. He was convinced that Jesus Christ was innocent. Even his wife sent message to him. And Pilate washed his hand. The washing of hand is not a bad idea. But if Christ be raised from the dead, Pilate is in trouble. Big trouble. What about the Roman soldier who pulled the sword from his side? He just wanted to certify death. Because the Roman law would have executed him if Jesus escaped. They want to make sure. Just think about when he heard it on the news that morning, that Jesus is alive. And then you remember that he pierced his side with a sword. Think of the guards. The guards who they paid money to tell a lie that his disciples stole him away. When they in fact knew it wasn't true. They were paid to tell a lie. What you think going on in their mind when they hear that Jesus Christ is alive? They know the truth and they lied about it. What about the soldier who won the garment when they cast lot for Jesus' outer coat? Just when he thought he was a winner, then he understood that Jesus is alive. He might just come back for his jacket. But he doesn't need that anymore. He's outside of the element of earth. He never needed that because he had a glorified body. What about King Agrippa? Remember, he was almost persuaded. And just to get the message that Jesus Christ is really alive. The Roman emperors who persecuted the church, who did a lot of evil things throughout the history of the church. What about the communist leaders? Hated the church and persecuted Christians. Just a couple months ago, we were asking for prayer items on our network. And we were praying for Christians who were being murdered in Syria. And you remember, I'm pretty sure you prayed for that item here at Good Tidings. Well, we need to bring back the good news. A couple months ago, Assad was overthrown. That brute beast, Assad, that was seen overseeing the execution of Christians for their faith. In our time, God answered that prayer and removed him. The resurrected Christ is not the best friend to play with in the park because of the power and the authority that he has. What about the one called Muhammad? Just when you thought you can give salvation to others, you come to terms with all these people around you. What about those who believe in Confucius? And that to know that Jesus Christ is alive. All Christ rejectors. Think about it. Bad news that Jesus is alive. But for those who believe in him, good news that he's alive. Where do you stand today as we close this session? What is it to you that Jesus Christ is alive? Are you looking forward to meeting him and to seeing him? Are you going to be a part of that throng of people when the saints go marching in? Do you want to be in that number? Then you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to personally trust him and believe in his word and what the provision that he has made for us. Man alive, he's alive. One of my favorite gospel hymn of all times. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, unbelief, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without, though tossed about, with many a conflict, especially with social media around, many recommendations, suggestions, different religions to believe in. Well, just as I am, currently tossed about, with many conflict, many doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one pea, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise, I believe. Just want you to know, if you're here today and you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the moment. This is your opportunity to prepare to meet him. If you're on Zoom, then just send us the information of what technical our workers will take that and we get in touch with you. But if you are here in this moment inside this hall, I would like to pray with you, pray for you, as you think about coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All other names of people, leaders all over the world will come and they'll be forgotten, and that's okay. But you see, the resurrected Christ, it's a sure appointment you have. You have to meet him one day. God in his mercy has designed this plan, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, as wretched as you think you are, he will cancel that appointment he has with you for judgment. He'll make you a part of that group that is longing and looking forward for him to return. You can be saved at this moment right here at Good Tidings as we close this meeting in prayer. Father God, we worship. We praise you. We thank you that it was not possible that death could hold your son down forever. That he came and he tore the bars away. He not only freed himself, but he freed himself to free us. And he has set me free. Thank God for the gospel. Thank you for the hope that we have that one day we shall behold him. We shall see him face to face, Father. We say thanks. And for those who are undecided, for those who are tossed, we pray somehow you'd settle them by bringing them to a saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.